Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
All right, why don't you speak for yourself? I am Jason Whitlock, and that, if you don't recognize me, is Marcellus Wiley.
Hey, don't say it.
After a week in Cabo.
Oh, here you go. A little darker, huh?
That dude.
It's your boy.
That dude. All right, coming up, we'll get into this weekend's officiating travesty at the NCAA tournament. We start today with Antonio Brown. The Pittsburgh Steelers are winning the divorce. That's the only logical conclusion to draw from the pot shot Antonio Brown directed at former teammate Juju Smith-Schuster. Over the weekend, a Steelers fan tweeted at Brown referencing Smith-Schuster being named the Steelers MVP for the 2018 season. Brown responded defiantly, tweeting, "Emotion. Boy, fumbled the whole postseason in the biggest game of the year. Everyone went blind. Too busy making guys famous. Not enough of reality these days." Brown, of course, is referring to Smith-Schuster's fumble in the final seconds of Pittsburgh's loss to the Saints in Week 16. Smith-Schuster responded to Brown's diss, "All I ever did was show that man love and respect to the league. I was genuinely happy for him, too, when he got traded to Oakland with a big contract. And now he takes shots at me on social media?" Brown's actions are extremely odd. Smith-Schuster is the Pittsburgh teammate who avenged Vontaze Burfict's knockout shot on Brown. You remember Burfict's illegal hit on Brown during a 2016 playoff game? The following season, Smith-Schuster put Burfict to sleep with one of the most devastating blocks ever delivered by a wide receiver. When Smith-Schuster says he showed Brown nothing but love, he's referring to this hit on Burfict. That is an act of love. That's blood in, blood out. So why is Brown being so disloyal? He already regrets leaving Pittsburgh and Ben Roethlisberger. He's beginning to understand that his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, put him in a bad contract with the Steelers and created a situation in which Brown had to force his way out of Pittsburgh just to get a decent contract. The grass in Oakland is greener, but the rest of the farm is in disarray. Brown isn't going to be BFF with Raiders quarterback Derek Carr either. Carr is on shaky footing in Oakland. Raiders coach John Gruden is shopping for young quarterbacks. Brown could be playing with a rookie quarterback very soon. Whether it's Carr or a rookie, Brown won't be playing with a veteran QB who knows how to consistently deliver the ball downfield the way Ben Roethlisberger does. Brown is already unhappy with his new football wife. You get divorced and remarried, you don't waste energy and emotion talking about your ex-wife. Not if you're truly happy. The Raiders will regret trading for and paying Antonio Brown. He's disloyal, unreliable, and delusional. All right, joining the desk now is former Pro Bowl wide receiver T.J. Houshmandzadeh. Marcellus, yeah. Get us rolling here. Mm. The Raiders will regret trading for Antonio Brown, yes or no?
No, absolutely not. You have to actually be excited if you're a Raiders fan, part of this brass, this organization, where a guy is putting a target on his back. And this is just not any other guy. This is a premier receiver, maybe the best receiver we have in the game, certainly by numbers. And then he's letting you know that everything that's out there is competition for me. And guess what that does? When you put that target on your back with his work ethic, which is second to none, with his numbers that he always consistently puts up, he's going to make sure I make this situation work. One, I got to make sure I'm better than Juju and what him and Ben Roethlisberger is certainly going to go out there and try to do. Two, I may have a different quarterback, but we're going to figure this out because I can't take a loss in production. I can't take a hit to the image. I can't take a hit to my greatness. He's
all
putting that target on him.
This is going to blow up.
You forget.
Too much pressure on himself. He's not Ali. Oh. Ali stepped into that ring by himself.
Yeah.
If Ali took care of business, it was great. This dude needs an offensive line, a quarterback, a head coach. He's in a dependent position, and when it doesn't work the way he thinks it is, it's going to be trouble in Oakland.
See, Oakland's slogan is just win, baby, right? But that's not the complete slogan. You know what it really is? Is we don't care about anything else. Call out Juju. Go out there and say what you want to say. We don't need choir boys over here. We don't care about anything, just win, baby. He's going to go out there and help this team become successful. He's going to be a part of the building blocks that's going to get this team to another level. Because the dude just been doing it for his entire career. It's time for him to continue.
With Ben Roethlisberger.
They're not going to regret acquiring him just because he's still one of the best receivers in the game. That's number one. It's just disappointing for him to do this. That's the thing. It's just very disappointing. Juju looked up to him. Juju, when he was in high school and college, when you get drafted to the Steelers, you're like, God, I literally get to play with Antonio Brown. And when he says, Juju's a good kid.
Yeah, he is.
When he says, I showed you nothing but love, that's the truth. And for you to do this to him, now the Raiders, number one, he's not going to perform like he did with the Steelers. So
you sure about that, huh?
Yeah.
You forget Derek Carr a couple years ago before the injury. You don't think that could come back?
What did Amari Cooper do with him?
Mark Cooper's the same as Antonio Brown. Are you doing that?
This is the thing, though, Marcellus. Since 2013, he's first in targets, first in receptions, first in receiving yards, first in receiving touchdowns. He's not going to get those type of looks. Derek Carr is not holding on to the ball like Ben Roethlisberger. He's not going to take those chances like Ben Roethlisberger. So those down the field, they not going to be there. And he better hope he can hold that in. He's going to have to get 1,300 yards each year minimum, or these going to be his last 3 years in the league. Wow. Because he's talking way too much. And after a while, it's going to be, we're talking about his personality over his production.
Yeah.
And it's a wrap.
I can't believe you can't see that there's a big drop-off between Derek Carr and Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay.
Very.
One's leading the league in interceptions and one's not. So there are warts on even that drop-off.
No question.
Right.
One will stand in the pocket and bet on his receivers at all costs.
Man, he's going to stare down that barrel.
He'll take every hit to get his receivers the ball. He's been living in a wide receiver utopia. Mm-hmm. Everywhere in Pittsburgh, all the way back to John Stallworth and Lynn Swann. Anybody that comes to Pittsburgh to play wide receiver, Hines Ward.
Plaxico. Santonio.
So no respect for John Gruden, the offensive guru. The guy that we even saw last year at moments.
What did Keyshawn say about John Gruden?
How many touchdowns Key have?
Keyshawn, my boy, so I'm not going to talk bad about his game, but let's just
real.
He's not Antonio Brown either.
But John Gruden is not just going to force feed Antonio Brown the ball.
I get you.
And that's what he's used to. That was the problem last year was Juju had more targets. He didn't like that. Antonio Brown, your targets were still up there, but Juju had more. Antonio Brown can play. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. He's one of the top three receivers in the league. He can play. But when you go from Pittsburgh to Oakland, from Ben Roethlisberger to Carr, that's a huge difference.
But the thing is, I still don't think his issue was Juju, you got two fewer targets than me. It's not so much that, this ball's not getting spread around and I don't like that. I don't think that you qualified to get those targets. You had a tandem, you and Ocho Cinco.
Let's argue this, though. When you look at Juju numbers, hell yeah, he qualified. When you get those type of targets and you put up what he put up,
yes,
he wasn't qualified, but it showed real quick, I'm qualified for this.
But the thing is, you're qualified for this, so what am I qualified for? 5 years of this type of success before you even got here, like 4 or 5 years of this. Then you get here and you're on my level, that shows to the relationship of him and Ben Roethlisberger, right? Because you know it. How many times is you're like, bro, I was open, but why didn't you throw me that ball? I got you next time. Like, there is some relationship dependency, as you were speaking of, in that dynamic. And he's going to now remove himself from that. I think he's going to find that it can be greener pastures.
All right, let's go to a second layer on this. Easy answer for me here. I've lost some respect for Antonio Brown. This type of pot shot at a dude that stood up for him, took on Vontaze Burfict just for that. Just the shot he put on Vontaze Burfict after what Burfict did to him the year before. There's just no way he should be talking out of school about Juju Smith-Schuster, who's done nothing. He's not involved in that. If you got a problem with Big Ben, if you got a problem with the Steelers organization for what they would pay you, if you have a problem with your agent, why Juju? Why involve it? Makes me lose respect for AB.
We're going to get dirty with this one. You remember playing Pop Warner, and after the game, coach said, line up on the 50, both teams. good game, good game, good game. I'm saying good game to dudes that didn't even play. Right. I'm saying good game. They saying good game to me. I had a bad game. Whatever. Good game, good game. We put makeup on sportsmanship. We put makeup on competition. And we force ourselves to get into these good ethics and talk about, oh, it's the right to do the right thing and make sure you respect everybody. One, they're not teammates anymore. So don't act like there's the same code and there's a violation of that code. I hate it when I had to put that makeup on because when I lined up against you, whether it was in practice or in the game, especially at the professional level, this is livelihood. This is me trying to take money from you so there could be money to me. There's a salary cap. This is not going to be a world where we're all going to sit here on level playing fields. There are times where I look at you, if I'm your backup or I'm in competition with you, guess what I'm thinking? I got to get him. Even though he's wearing the same colors. And he was mature enough to keep all of that in until he switched his colors. And when he switched his colors, he switched the code. And he said, now, Juju, the things that I didn't report about you, I'm going to start leaking out. I am with you in the respect of, I'm going to teach my son the Whitlock way. Don't be taking shots at the young homie who's coming in. But I'm going to tell you, in that lion's den, you look at your teammates, you look at guys who play your position, go to a training camp and see how much love is really being shown. You got to respect that we got to take this makeup off of sportsmanship and competition at times, and he's doing just that.
I didn't lose respect for him. Actually, you might gain respect for him because for him to come out and do what is not popular, you rarely see guys do this to a former teammate. For me, it's disappointment because there's so many young guys that look up to him, that want to play with him. Like I said earlier, I guarantee when Juju got drafted to Pittsburgh, he's calling all his friends, I get to play with Antonio Brown, man. That right there is disappointing because it's like a guy that I looked up to that I wanted to play with is now doing this. And I believe it's because Juju didn't come out and defend him with Ben. Like, what is Juju supposed to do? This is my quarterback. I'm going to say he's a leader. I'm not going to agree with you. You're no longer on the team. Antonio Brown, it takes a lot to say what he said publicly. Right. That takes a whole lot because he knows everybody's going to pile on him. Did I lose respect? Absolutely not. It's just disappointment.
No. He's, to me, Antonio Brown and his brand building, he's playing the role of the heel. Mm-hmm. He's going to be the bad guy now and the ultimate bad guy. And it's screw everybody. But again, I go back to when you talk about defending Antonio Brown, against one of the dirtiest hits in football that knocked this dude out of a playoff game, and this kid circles back around the next season and puts Burfict to sleep. That means something to me. That's my guy. That's a dude that stood up for me in a real way and took on Burfict. In the Lions, this is a little undersized wide receiver. Burfict's not out of this league, and so this blows my mind that you could take this kind of pot shot at a guy that you was that kind of teammate.
Well,
for you.
Let's be real. The devil's in the details, and we don't know the day in, day outs. When there were moments where Juju could have came to his aid, came to his support, more so than the public one of an opponent, Vontaze Burfict. There could have been private moments where he's like, oh, I saw you riding with Ben when you know this was a moment where you should have been riding
obviously,
with me.
Obviously, there's underlying things that we have no idea.
We have no idea, and that's one level. And if you're Antonio Brown, guess what you do? You're not Pretty Boy Floyd anymore. You Money Mayweather. You did turn heel, and I get it. And when you turn heel, you know it comes with its issues. But one thing that I respect out of what he's saying is like, hey, man, you are a younger player, and you did that for me, or you did that for you. Because if you did that for me, then there's more to do if we together. If we're not together, you ain't even gotta do that. So sometimes somebody could do something that is for everyone else's understanding and attention, and then privately, they ain't got your back in the same level. You could feel a certain way about that, and I think we're seeing something.
TJ Husmanzadeh is back, and we're joined now by Fox College basketball insider Aaron Torres. Time now for a big story. Let's move to the NCAA tournament, where Virginia advanced to tonight's final against Texas Tech, but not without some controversy. The Cavaliers were down 2 to Auburn with time running down when Ty Jerome committed a pretty clear double dribble that the refs missed. And then on the next play, Auburn was called for a controversial foul on a 3-point shot. UVA sank all 3 free throws and won, an ending that had a lot of people drawing comparisons to the controversial NFC Championship game between the Rams and the Saints. the question here is, what was the bigger controversial ending, UVA Auburn or the Saints Rams? To me, it's this basketball game. I don't even find the Saints-Rams game all that controversial. It's an optical illusion that it was a pass interference, yeah, in my view. And that's a bang-bang play. To miss this double dribble when two referees are staring right at it and it's one of the most obvious, easiest calls you can make, that was ridiculous. I don't have a problem with them calling a foul on a shot. I thought the guy was fouled on a three-point shot. But missing that double dribble is a crime. Auburn should be playing tonight.
Prisoner of the moment right here. Oh, which one just happened? Oh, okay. No. I'm going to say the basketball one. Lock him up. You're right here for being a prisoner of the moment. No, you know it's the NFC Championship game. I tell you why. Watching those two plays in the Virginia-Auburn game, one of them, for most casual fans was watching it, and the double dribble occurred. Off replay, you say, oh, yeah, they didn't call that. And even in the foul, even though you hate it for them to call it, you said they have to make that right call. But that's not the NFC Championship game. In the moment, I didn't need replay. I didn't need second thought. I was like, he just hit this dude before the ball got there. And helmet to helmet. Bang, bang, and then the ball goes by. And no call. Insane. So for me, it's not even close. NFC Championship game. I didn't need technology. I didn't need to taste the crowd and see what everyone was thinking. I knew in that moment they messed that play up, and that's egregious.
To me, I completely disagree in the sense that if the double dribble is called accurately, there is no controversial ending to this play. And so to me, it does feel like the college basketball play is bigger. We can go through every moment of that fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter. We can go back to the first quarter when Saints missed opportunities to put points on the board. But you go to that Virginia-Auburn game, I just look at it from the perspective of if they get, you could say it's bang, bang, it's hard. The refs have to know that call, right? The refs have to see it in real time. So to me, I'm just sitting here saying, even as a fan on the couch, like, you have to catch that if you're the refs. There's no excuse.
Double dribble?
Like, it's right off his foot.
All we hear about in NBA is they travel all the time in basketball. Double dribble. How many times do they call double dribble again?
Double dribble, because it don't happen at all, exactly, because it's so damn obvious that most people
that was
don't
not
even do
so
it.
So obvious. You didn't know where that ball got clipped. Did the ball hit him on the foot? Did the ball get tipped by the defender? And
he
then through replay, we saw
hands.
That.
And started dribbling.
So we're on two different sides of the table here because I'm going with the NFC Championship game.
Wow.
As well. And the reason I say it is this. I had to see the replay and I was like, oh, that was double dribble.
Yeah.
The championship game was obvious, but this.
You don't know basketball rules. Go ahead.
Oh, that's how we do it.
But this is probably the biggest thing, though. This is probably the biggest scene. The reason this isn't as controversial is because it could be because the way Bruce Pearl handled it. Mm. He acted like it wasn't a big deal. It,
so
you know,
yeah.
It happens. Unlike you know, Sean we'll Payton. Get over the call. Whereas with the Saints, they changed the rule. Sean Payton was still talking about it. The players were still talking about it. I just feel bad for the players on Auburn because when's the last time they've been in this position? They haven't. A lot of these guys are seniors. They'll never get a chance to be in this position again. So I feel sorry from that perspective. If I'm a ref and I knew that was double dribble, I'm not calling that foul. You can't. You missed the double dribble. And you call it. Okay. Come on, man. You can't
make
score both ways.
Make up no call, huh? But you want to make up no call.
It's the way Bruce Pearl handled it for me that was like, even his players handled it right. I'm sure they didn't make that much of a big deal about it. They handled it the right way. I'm sure I wouldn't have handled it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's that way. The coach
handled
it well.
I love that point. I didn't even think about that in terms of here's a college coach with some young kids handling disappointment better than the professional.
If he makes a big deal about it and he's still talking about it, I think on TV it's become a bigger deal like what Sean Payton did.
But he's in an impossible position. You can't go hard and ride for a double dribble no call. Like, I understand we know the
issue.
We know the
cost
effect.
Cost him a game?
We know the
it
effect.
It cost him a chance to play in a championship. I'm on your side.
What cost him more was, why are you fouling a three-point jump shooter? Like, that's what cost him more. If he really wants to discipline his team and really teach him a greater lesson, he can't hone in on a non-call on a double dribble. You would have to pick the bigger of the two, which is all he had to do was stop 6 inches before. You got to give him a landing spot. You shouldn't have the collision underneath. You shouldn't low bridge.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. The Auburn kid was fundamentally unsound in a big moment.
Yeah.
No way you should have been running up, closing out that hard and running up underneath a guy. I agree with that.
Yeah.
However, I really kind of like TJ's point about the way Bruce Pearl and his kids handled it because it could have been a different coach. And again, if just think if that had been Bobby Knight that had got gotten screwed in that situation, there would have been chairs thrown, and it would have he would have handled it the way Sean Payton has handled it. And that's why I don't like the way, and have never liked the way, the Saints and all this whining and crying, and, oh, we got to change the rules because one bad call happened in the NFC. And again, if you go look at that play, it was so bang, bang. You're saying in the moment you knew the Saints deal was an outrageous call. In the moment, I actually thought, I was like, oh, that ball's uncatchable. I hope they don't throw a flag. That's literally what I thought.
You know all his athleticism, his leaps, his bounds, his vertical jump. There's no way he could touch that.
I'm just saying the way it processed to me. And I don't – I agree. It processed to you the way it did for a lot of people. For me, I was like, uncatchable. I hope they don't throw a flag. And when they did, when they didn't, I was like, good. Justice. But
here we go.
I was going to say, back to the Bruce Pearl point, do you think in real time, like, maybe he just didn't realize how big of a botch call that was?
Yeah.
Because you come back, they came back to the TV, and Charles Barkley, Mr. Auburn, he took about 2 minutes to even reference the double dribble. And so I wonder if they realized in real time how big of a deal it was, how missed it was, and by the time they got to the podium.
To my point.
When Charles was standing on the floor. Yeah. And didn't have a good view of that. And I think he was standing underneath the basket. So his view, I think, was obscured. And so I think all the guys on
that
desk.
But he still could have made a big deal after the game in a press conference to make it more controversial than it was.
Well, they all handled it with class, unlike the Saints. All right, before we go, I'd like to congratulate my good friend and one of the five best coaches in college basketball, Baylor's Kim Mulkey. Mulkey and her Bears won the women's NCAA tournament last night, beating Notre Dame 82-81 in a thriller that Texas Tech and Virginia are unlikely to duplicate tonight in the men's championship. Sunday's victory marked Mulkey's fourth NCAA title. She won it all as a star point guard on Louisiana Tech's 1982 title team. She's added three championships as Baylor's head coach. Mulkey is as good a story as we have in college sports. I rank her just below Mike Krzyzewski and Gino Auriemma as a college coach and right alongside Roy Williams and Tom Izzo. You know all about Coach K, Gino, Roy, and Izzo. You don't know much about Kim Mulkey, and part of the reason why is because the NCAA stupidly plays the women's tournament at the same time as the men. This has been my complaint about women's college basketball for two decades. It's asinine to play the women's tournament in the shadow of the more established men's tourney. You're asking the media and fans to divide their attention between the two. That would be fine if the tournament shared the same venues, like, say, Wimbledon or the French Open. But they don't. The women's Final Four was played in Tampa. The men play tonight in Minneapolis. Women's college basketball needs to follow the path of women's soccer. The men's and women's World Cups are separate events, played at separate times, and they create separate superstars. The women's NCAA tournament should be played in April, when media and fans can singularly focus on the women's game. Playing in the shadow of the men denies women the sunlight they need for growth. The current setup is March Madness.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Joined now by NBA champion Eddie House, Yahoo Sports NBA insider Chris Haynes. I got to say, we all got different looks here.
Yeah.
Marcellus been to Cabo and got a suntan.
Yeah, a little smoky.
Chris growing his hair out like me.
Big Dudley over here.
Eddie, you done lost a bunch of weight, man. You look like a little kid.
Right.
All right, let's move to the Ball family, who have had a dramatic month with the Big Baller brand on the verge of collapse and allegations surfacing that one of LeVar's friends and advisors stole millions of dollars from the company. Despite all the drama, Chris Haynes is reporting that it's business as usual in the Ball family, with LeVar calling the shots in Lonzo's search for a new agent. Lonzo, for his part, told the LA Times that his father is not involved in his business decisions. All right, who should we believe? Should we believe you, Chris, or should we believe the LA Times?
Somebody lying.
Somebody. Sources.
Hey, mm-hmm. I'm sticking with my report. I had it that that LeVar actually met with multiple agents, been interviewing, you know, these potential agents for the, take on his son. And I was told that in these interviews, He's asking if they have the power, the clout, to pair, you know, to get all three of his sons on the same team. Mm. And so he's very much still involved. It was initially, the plan initially was for Lonzo to be his own man, to go out there and start making his own decisions. Then LeVar got back into the picture. I don't know how and why he did got back into the picture, but that's when things started to crumble. And then after that, that's when his agent, Harrison Gaines, parted ways after that. And I was told that LeVar's emergence had something to do with that. So I'm sticking with.
Now, without knowing the full details of those meetings, on its surface, I don't like your father being in those meetings. Being a guy, being a player, just knowing what that exchange is like, that is actually an employee of you, the player, not the other way around. They work for you. I would like to see Lonzo take full control of that. Outside of that, I'm not into this let's shun your father to show that you have full responsibility and you're a man. Through this process, the maturation process he goes through, you just went through a scandal, you just went through a situation where you suffer from financial fraud. Somebody got you. They got your father as well. Lonzo's going to learn.
Your father recommended.
Okay, respect. And you know what? Lonzo's going to learn from that. Your father will learn from that as well. We are going to go through that process together. Because if we're going to get into now the damning of a family or the breaking up of a family because you went through an issue like this, you know how many players have got before? You know how many businessmen, successful people? You don't break up the family because somebody pulled the wool over your eyes. You learn from it, and then we reset, recalculate, and do better.
I can't get upset at a man wanting to be there for his son to make sure that he doesn't get got again, mm-hmm. you know, because this decision of finding an agent.
That you helped.
Yeah, but look at though. But look at
right.
that.
That's a good point.
But look
right
though, but that's, that, if you that feel, I'm a father. I'm a father. So if I feel that my son is not ready for certain things, yeah, I'm going to be there trying to give him as much advice as I can. And if sometimes I need to take the reins, then I'm going to do that until I feel like he's ready to do it on his own. And I think we keep condemning LeVar for being a father and being an on-hand father. And then a lot of times on the flip side, people talk about the father's never there. So we got a guy who's there who's trying to do the best he can for his kid. That's what he's doing. Maybe he's going about it the wrong way. This is his first time being in this situation.
Yeah.
So he's learning on the fly as well. But I think that once he feels that Lonzo is mature enough, we got to remember he's just barely out of college and out of high school.
Yeah. He's got a kid now, though, and so that makes him a father. I'm going to say this, and my father rests in heaven, one of the greatest human beings that ever walked the planet, one of the greatest fathers. Love him to death. But I can say this about my father. There was a point in time, and I was a little older than Lonzo is, but there was a point in time where my father made a mistake, didn't running his business. He didn't tell me about it until the day it was due that $18,000 had to be paid. Mm. That's when he called and looped me in on something that had been going on for a year. And see, I had to fix the problem, and I did. But that changed the dynamics of our relationship moving forward. And it's like, now I'm the shot caller. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, you call no shots.
18,000 to do that.
It changed, you know, 18,000 reasons. You know,
I think you looked at that situation the wrong way, and you should have had a greater respect for your father. I've been in that same position, not with my father, but I looked at it the same way you did, and I said, oh, we know who's running this going forward. But here's the way I learned to look at it. Your father took so much pride in being the man to you. He didn't want that bailout. Imagine he's in the middle of the ocean, and he's drowning. And he's like, before I tell my son to come out here and risk anything, I'm going to try and save myself. And he went to all the way to the deadline of that. And then he came to someone he helped create to say, you know what, let's save this.
I had no problem.
Respect for that. So why would the dynamic have to change? Because you know your father was just sitting there with a lot of pride.
I reached the conclusion, justified, because that wasn't the last bailout. There was another, there was 15
more. Let's get to the root of it. That's what it was.
Habitual.
And he just gave us the top layer. He didn't get deep with it.
Right.
There's levels to this.
Principality.
At some point, you have to realize, like, hey, this. There were things he was able to do before as he got older. I needed to take more control and be the shot caller, because that's who he raised me to be.
Yeah.
And that changed the dynamics of our relationship. And I don't share that story in any way to embarrass my father. He's passed, and again, I'm telling my father was awesome and a big part of my success. and I owed him everything that I did for him later in life. I have no regrets, no nothing about that. But I'm just saying, Lonzo may have reached the point, given the situation with the guy getting ripped off, that he's going to have to step up and say, you know what, the dynamics have changed. I'm a father now. I got to be the shot
caller. But that's if he's ready and mature enough to do that. I mean, you got to remember, just because you have a kid don't make you a father and a man. You still trying to learn. He's super.
Well, that's a problem.
He's super young. You know what I mean? You got to think 3 years ago, he was in high school. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't – 3 years out of high school, I'm not sure if I would trust my son fully. If I don't feel like – I'm going to do everything I can
to
prepare
him. You know
you're
more qualified than LeVar, though, right? I mean, if your son makes it to the NBA, you've got a bit more qualification.
I have a little more but at the same time, I'm not more qualified to be a father and have the responsibility of making sure my son doesn't fall into any kind of pitfall or doesn't make the same mistake.
But go back to you, make the same mistake. Let's not forget, LeVar spearheaded this unconventional path of entering the league and trying to start your own brand and get your own shoes. Now, there are some financial issues that I've been told about that's going on with the situation. So why would you, again, want to trust your father and allow him to go and pursue the next agency? And
out of risk.
Well, I also think this, though. Lonzo might have more say in this decision than he did in any other decisions he had before.
It's growing.
So we got to give him an opportunity to do that. We got to give him an opportunity to mature. Right now, we knocking it like Lonzo's not saying nothing. Maybe he wasn't ready to say something. Maybe everything that LeVar has been doing has been preparing him to move forward and be a man. I think once he sees that, LeVar stepped back.
All right, to Lonzo's teammate, LeBron James, who is about to experience his first playoff-less summer in 14 years, but still plans to be plenty busy. According to LeBron, he's going to bring a championship mindset to recruiting free agents this offseason in an effort to get things turned around for the Lakers. All right, we've seen LeBron activate into playoff mode, and they've won 37 games and won't be in the playoffs. Now he's in championship mode, and he's going to get Anthony Davis and Larry Bird and the ghost of Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar all to come back
Will
to play for the Lakers.
Is Will coming?
Will as well.
Will Cole. Bring him. Will going to bring him.
Championship mode. You optimistic about championship mode or championship mindset, Marcellus?
Oh, man, this is sad.
I
didn't think LeBron would get caught up in yelling at the noise, like yelling at the naysayers. Like he knows, because one, you've been to 8 of the last 9 finals, let's include this year. LeBron, those superstars don't listen to that channel. They don't watch Channel Zero. You're talking to fans now. You're talking to the ones who can't help you. Everyone who knows you, LeBron, knows you about that life. They know that you are a champion in spirit and in effort.
Not anymore.
Who are you talking to now? No, no, this is when you're somewhere and you're hearing criticism. And like DJ Khaled always said, he's talking to they. But who you need to be talking to is just a couple of dudes. Kawhi, KD, that's a short list. And they don't even need to hear it because they know who you are. It's sad to see him talking into the wind to this noise.
Well, he hasn't missed the playoffs since 2005. So you got to think how his mind is working right now. Like, this is uncharted territory for him. You know, he's usually being successful. So this is a little bit of adversity as far as you're not as successful as you thought it was going to be. So this is his way of motivating himself. Like, you know what? It's championship mode right now. This is what we're trying to do. How do you attract people to come work with you? Say we're going to have the best. We're striving for the best. I need you so we can be the best. That's all he's doing. He's setting the groundwork so he can recruit this summer. And if they don't land 2 top free agents this summer, it's going to be hard press for him to get back, because just what they have right now, I think really what they need to look for, if they can get a point guard as far, and I'm not saying that Rondo and Lonzo can't do it, but like a Dame Lillard, like that type of a point guard that can go out there and score, but then also make plays that he can dictate to the defense.
Talking to my guy Dame. Okay. All right.
Bring it.
So let me say this. So this is going to be an unusual situation for LeBron this summer, because, you know, I covered him in Cleveland. I know LeBron in this regard is that he doesn't recruit outwardly. Most of the reason why he didn't do that was because he was in Cleveland. And it was like a sooner or later, like it was like a couple few years back, he finally admitted, like, look, I recruited everybody. Nobody wanted to come to Cleveland.
Yeah.
But they didn't want that perception that guy, like, he struck out on outwardly recruiting. Now he's putting himself out there and saying, look, I'm in a championship mindset when it comes to recruiting guys. I just think that this summer, I just don't like their trajectory. I don't like I think when you're looking at all the top free agents out there, I think they're directly linked to other teams, not the Lakers. For them and the Lakers, I think AD is their only saving grace. They got to get that trade done.
They need more than that, though.
But no, but that's the first domino. Once you get that, then you can start adding pieces from there. But if that AD doesn't come to fruition, and then Kyrie stays in Boston or go to New York, KD stays in Golden State or go to New York, Kawhi stays in Toronto or go to the Clippers, who's left?
Right.
Who's left that's going to move the needle? So this summer is really big, and if he's going out there and say, I'm a public recruit, and he strikes out, we think his percentage, what? They got Kobe above him and Ghost now. It's going to diminish dramatically after that if they strike out.
But champion mindset versus what? Championship mindset.
You already had that, right?
Yeah, yeah. So when you get redundant, a lot of times they teach you this in psychology, you being insecure about something. Like, LeBron, what are you talking about? Like, that's like LeBron saying, I'm a great player. Yeah, bruh, and?
Right.
So when you're talking to this, you're not talking to the directed targets. If you're going to recruit, there's an art to recruiting. And right now, this is not the first best step in the art of recruiting.
And I think the reason why he's having such a hard time getting people to L.A. right now, think about all the top free agents. Who are they chasing? LeBron to be the best player. And how can you eclipse him if you're on the same team with him?
Right.
We win the championships together. And then your legacy is going to be directly attached to his legacy as well. So these guys want to kind of create their own lane and their own legacy. They don't want to attach it to LeBron. So that's another uphill battle that he got to climb. I mean, because if you look at it, if you was trying to become who, like, the main guy, I wouldn't want to go play with him either.
Take him down. Yeah.
To me, LeBron is like Avon Barksdale from The Wire. After he got out of jail and him and Stringer, he's trying to explain to Stringer that he still wants his blocks. I want my block. I'm just a gangster. No, we ain't got to do that no more. We ain't got to do that no more. And what Stringer was really trying to tell us, man, you can't get them blocks back, man. Marlo got them.
Marlo got them.
LeBron ain't getting his blocks back, man.
The Clippers got them.
The Clippers got them. Steve Ballmer, Jerry West, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Kawhi. Eddie House is back with us. My favorite segment, Anti-Social. I got my Twitter off here. Darnell Smith, our social media manager.
Swole. Swole.
What up, Marcel? I ain't seen you in years. How you feeling?
I seen you on them billboards by LAX, though. I seen you.
Man. Don't clown me. Don't clown me.
Big time over here.
All right, what's popping, Darnell?
Yeah, we're going to get it going with KD, who is notorious for his burner accounts on IG and Twitter, and just gave a pretty weak explanation for why he used them, saying, quote, I wasn't used to that amount of attention for playing basketball. I wanted a place where I could talk to my friends without anyone just butting in my conversations or mixing my words or taking everything out of context. To me, it seems like a simple call and text would have done the job. But as KD did it to social media,
wow.
Yeah, I think he's like most of us. He's addicted to social media. I get what he's saying. He wanted a place where he could just comment without his comments carrying the weight of Kevin Durant's name.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, exactly. You said that was pretty weak.
Yeah.
Darnell, that's leading the witnesses over here. I think it's actually smart. Like, I've gone back and forth, and I haven't done it yet, but I want a private account where it's just like, okay, I'm going to do everything the same on my public account.
Burner account.
It's not even burner. I don't want to go burner, but I want something where I'm talking burner, y'all.
Honest account.
And we going for, honest account. We going at it. And no one else is going to know about it. I need that paywall up for it. So I respect it.
I think he's addicted to it because, and look where he's at. You know, he's out there where all the tech, everything's going on over there. So I think he loves to be on it. He pays attention to it. And he's a little bit too thin-skinned to me to always be on it because he reacts to a lot of stuff. And like a simple call. Pick your phone up.
Man, I ain't calling everybody. I got millions of followers.
All right, now, Marcel, you've been gone for a few days, so tell me if I'm tripping.
All right.
Do you smell some smoke in the building?
I smell something.
I knew I wasn't tripping, man. So last night, Richard Jefferson called out the Warriors during the Spurs and Cavs game. Take a listen. Mm.
Where I come from in the park and in the street, if you're playing and you lose to somebody, the first words are, run it back, same teams.
Run it back.
Run it back, same teams, right? No, we ain't changing no team. Run it back.
Run it back.
That's how we grew up, right? See, getting excited over here. That's what it is. Run it back, same team. Because you don't want to change anything. It's like, no, we felt like we're the better team.
Right.
We just didn't play well enough, so let's run it back. They didn't do that. They were like, we need to go reload. We're going to go get our big brother. And you're like, oh, thanks, guys. That's fun.
KD actually responded in the comment section on Instagram saying, quote, everybody from the streets now.
Oh.
So Marcellus, what level of smoke is this?
Ooh, what level of smoke is this? Yeah. It's not a wet match. He ain't let it go, so he's saying we're going to do some. It's not scorched earth because he didn't say KD. He could have really went there. Big brother, we know what you're saying. If you're really saying it, just say it, big dog. It's not a grease fire either because he got pretty particular, pretty specific, but he ain't go all the way in.
Right.
It's like a bonfire. Like, I smell it. Campground, something going on over there.
S'mores.
KD gonna respond, but you know, I can also have a little plausible deniability. You know what I'm saying?
But I don't, he's not going after KD. He's going after Steph, Clay, and Draymond. That's who went and got the big brother. KD should have stayed out of this, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so too. And it goes back to, I said, KD's a little thin skin. That right there, no need to even respond to that. What are you gonna respond for?
Those are his boys, though.
They talking about you.
That's his people.
Let's change the name. Hey, it says Eddie House.
Okay, now,
what you gonna do?
Okay, well, you gotta say something there. Yeah, if they say your name, but I don't think it was directed at KD. I think it was more so to everybody else. Like, oh, y'all thought y'all was so good, but we beat y'all. Now y'all had to go get somebody else because y'all wasn't as good.
But
as
they
y'all
went and got their brothers too. It's just their brothers wasn't as big as KD because they reloaded.
Yeah, they did.
Wade, and they went out there, got
D Rose. Right.
D Rose. Yeah, right. They tried. Brother wasn't as big.
All right, staying in the NBA. Paul Pierce suffered a firestorm this weekend after claiming he had a better career than D-Wade. Mm. Just about everyone online went at him for this outrageous statement, including Wade's wife, Gabrielle Union, saying, quote, "This Paul Pierce thing is wrong on many obvious levels, but what I find most troublesome is this idea of a man trying to diminish another man that looks like him, was raised like him, in order to shine a tab brighter. Stuff isn't entertaining. It's sad." Does she have a point here?
No. None at all. And I like Gabrielle Union, and I've told her that personally. Love her and D-Wade just as a couple and what they represent. But this man is just talking smack. That's what we do in sport.
Right.
I've never been. Jeff George, I grew up with him. I'm a better quarterback than you. I was a better Warren Central player than you.
Yeah.
I'm the all. That's what we do.
Yeah,
he ain't trying to diminish nobody. He's trying to host a TV show.
What was that segment? Y'all ever see a segment when keeping it real goes wrong?
Yeah.
Damn, Gabby, like, that's the homie, first of all. Before she was famous, everything, that's the homie. Whoa, how did you? I saw it live when Paul was doing it, and I was like, this is going to be funny.
Yeah.
Because it's not an absurd argument to say either way.
Nope.
And on top of that, he going to always choose him. The whole segment is about choosing you, even if it is a little bit of a stretch to talk yourself up. It was entertaining to me. I don't see why it was so heavy.
No, I don't. I mean, I want my girl to ride. Raquel, you hear that? I know she'll ride like that for me, and that's why she with me. But I need mine to rock like this. You know what I mean? Yeah. I want to have my back, and I know she do at home, baby. I see you. But really, though,
let's do it.
I look at what is Paul supposed to say? No, D-Wade better than
he
me?
He got me.
No, he's the first ballot Hall of Famer. Both of them first ballot Hall of Famer.
Six.
They got egos.
Yeah. Yeah, and you offensively, you could say Paul got the slight nod, but defensively, certainly Dwayne Wade. But
that was
a lot.
You got to spray
diminish that another man that looks like.
I like her. I like it. She riding, though.
But he's not.
But she riding way too hard.
You want her to ride way too
hard. Put that down, baby. You don't need that.
Well, you much rather have that. Like, hey, not that. Don't do that. You much rather have that than like, yeah, are you going to say something or what?
Eddie, let's keep it real, though.
Okay.
Most drama starts with that other person,
your
partner, talking you into some drama.
The dude in your entourage, your partner, whoever, it ain't you. It's always somebody around you.
Right.
Eddie House or Ty Lue, who better?
All right, time for
that's my dog, man. That's my dog.
Take it away.
It's Darnell. That's
my guy.
My question of the day.
All right, guys, so watching the tournament, you can see just how crucial one mistake can be. So, it led me to this. What mistakes haunt you guys from your playing days?
Oh, yeah. You know, for me, I told you this a couple of times with Locke. I stayed hurt in my prime, and I never took a hard reset. That's a big regret. I wish I could have just redshirted.
Nothing specific in a game that haunts you?
Oh, in a game? You know what? I think that you get to a point where you're trying to be efficient, you're trying to be smart, you're trying to work hard, and that balance. Sometimes it just pays to take a little less off the throttle and be more of instinct. There were times where I didn't trust myself. I trusted my studying. I trust what I thought I saw instead of just trusting what I was seeing. There's been those moments, but
haunting. Never missed a big tackle that cost your team a game, or
did I win a Super Bowl? No. So yeah, I missed a lot of tackles.
mine would be when I was in college. I didn't make the tournament, and this was a year. This was my senior year. We had an opportunity. We needed to win this game. It was against Oregon, and we were up by 5 points with like 12 seconds left. We ended up losing that game, and it was my fault. The ball was inbound. They was trying to get a Hail Mary three, full court throw. And I was right on it. And I got sure hands. I don't drop anything. And it was right to me. And as I'm going up to get the ball, my mind said, I'm going to grab this thing and throw it up in the stands. And as soon as I had that thought, it hit my handset right through, landed in the hands of, I forget his name, Darius Sumb. He caught it, turned and just threw it up and dooch, off glass, game. We lose.
Whoa.
And we didn't go to the tournament. So that's the one thing that I wish that if my mental was catch the ball, then yank it in it. Don't even, you know what I mean? I just lost a half second of concentration.
Yeah.
And that cost us. And okay. As much good I did that season, I felt like that, you know what I mean? That was it right there.
Yeah. We played for the MAC championship in 1988, and I got my clock cleaned by Joel Smingy, and I think about it all the time. Makes me want to cry.
You knocked your head off.
So with that said, I mean, what advice would you give Samir Dowdy, the kid who fouled at the end of the Auburn Virginia?
That's going to haunt. I don't think you ever can remove this moment from his life. You're going to move past it, but that stain is always going to be there. The advice I would give him is just to realize you did all that in full effort, in full, like the spirit was good. The intentions were great. You were trying to do everything you could to help you and help your team, but it just didn't work out for you.
I will tell him that it wasn't that one play that did it. It wasn't that play that cost him the game. Kyle Guy hit a three before that. He scored 6 points in 9 seconds. Yeah. Don't allow him to get the three. Jared Harper missed a free throw. That would have tied the game if he made the free three. So don't look at it as that was the one play that cost you guys. It was a combination of plays, but also trust your instincts. If you watch that replay, he started to go jump in the air, contested it, but he thought better of it and stopped, and that's the momentum that took him into the foul. If he would have just trusted instincts and jumped, he'd have jumped right by him, and it wouldn't have been a foul. It would have been a tough shot.
Yeah, that's the kind of friend I need, the one that lies to you, because it was about that one play.
No, it wasn't. Jared Harper missed a free throw. They allowed Kyle Guy to shoot a three when they were up 5.
I would give him this advice, though, to your point, and why you're wrong, Marcellus. If I was him, I would lean into the officiating error and then blowing the double dribble. That's what cost him the game.
Oh.
I would lean into that.
Deflection.
Yeah.
Deflection. Your boy missed a free throw, though. He went 1 for 2.
Yeah.
And you gave him 3 in the corner.
Let's move to Russell Westbrook, who just clinched his NBA record, third straight season averaging a triple-double. But not everyone in the league is all that impressed. According to an anonymous poll of fellow NBA players conducted by The Athletic, Westbrook was voted the most overrated player in the league in a tie with Draymond Green. I find this rather fascinating and somewhat agree with it. And that's not to say he's not great, but his greatness may be a bit overrated. Mm.
Overrated, huh?
No way.
This is the hate list. And it always goes down like this. I remember being a hate list. This is the jealousy list. Look at these names. Russell Westbrook. Jimmy Butler, James Harden. Oh, wow, LeBron.
You gotta be rated to be overrated. They can't pick out some.
How are you? You're doing something that no one has ever done in the game of basketball.
Period.
Period. And you're overrated?
The rules.
What could define the fact that I'm doing something?
Like 38% from the field. It's still a game about putting it in the hole.
Yeah, but he also facilitates. He also grabs rebounds as a guard. Like, he does so much that it's sad that the likability comes into the conversation when you talk about these lists, and that's what navigates it a lot more than how much ball and production you really give me. I'm not putting any credence into this.
I feel like the players are, I mean, because I'm surprised that the players aren't giving him more love and credit. I mean, because as a former player, I know how hard it is to go get a triple-double. I never got one in the league. And I'm quite sure that it's a lot of cats that go to the rec center can't get a triple-double. And he's doing it on the highest level. And over the last 3 years, they're going 74 and 25 when he gets a triple-double. So that translates to when he gets it, they win. He's the last 3 years, first in assists this season, last year first, third in assists. To do those things, that's a talent in its own.
You got to be rated to be overrated.
But you got to be talented to be able to lead the league in assists back-to-back years. And be able to get, because the assist is leading a guy to a basket. That's a talent. That's an art form. 10th in rebounds the last 3 years. So he's top 10 in those two things. That's all work. That's an art form, knowing how that ball bounces off the rim. So for somebody to say he's overrated for how for all the work he put in, well, whoever said that, like, how many triple-doubles they got in their career?
Donut.
Look, so I know when I'm saying this, people will say I'm picking on Westbrook, but I'm not. He's great at what he does, top five talent in the league. No question, put that out there right now. But we've all seen players clear out for certain players to get rebounds. We've all seen that. We see how players hold the ball to make sure that their pass leads to an assist. Not they don't hold it and let it get the hockey assist. We see that. And one thing, I will say this about players. Now that our votes have become public when we're voting all NBA, players always talk about and they come to me criticizing my pick. They was like, you know what? The players know. The players know. That's why we should have a vote and say. And that's why they've gotten a say during the All-Star voting process. So, to me, this speaks volumes because this is coming from his peers. You can call it hate, Marcellus. You can call it hate all you want.
47
But
peers.
Listen, but listen.
47
you hear fans,
peers.
You hear fans. You hear people on social media.
120 voters, but he got 47.
He got 47.
He got 40, but you hear the fans and what they're saying on social media about, you know, criticizing. All these players, they jump out the way to let them get rebounds. Obviously, now we see the players who are playing the game, who are right there in the action, the thick of things, they're saying the same thing.
Well, look, Whitlock kept saying you got to be rated to be overrated. I wonder where do they properly rate Russell Westbrook? Because maybe it's just an absurd initial rating, and then you're like, oh, he's not that good.
No, what they're saying is...
Because I don't see it.
What they're reacting to, they're saying the media is overrating Russell Westbrook.
I think they're underrating him. I think if you look at what the media is not shining a light on the greatness that he's going through these last 3 years. Think about when Oscar Robertson... I remember growing up, my pops, oh, man, Oscar Robertson had a triple-double. Magic Mike could do it, but it's never been done. That's folklore. He's done it three straight years, and people say, oh, you know what? The triple-double doesn't mean as much. That is much BS. Come on. Triple-double don't mean no money.
You know the game has changed.
It's changed.
There's more possessions. Yeah. There's more opportunities.
Okay, so what does that mean?
That means there's more opportunities to get rebounds.
Well, why ain't nobody else doing it?
Thank you.
Well, why ain't nobody else? There's more opportunities. Why ain't nobody else doing it? Please tell me that.
Stats are up as a whole.
That's what I need to know. Why ain't nobody else getting triple-doubles like this?
I can answer the question.
Go ahead.
I can answer the question. Because no one else has made that their primary focus.
Well, he has to do it to win. I just riddled off the 74-25 record when he gets a triple-double. So they need him to do that to win, to be successful.
That's your opinion.
No, that's a fact. Those are hard numbers.
It's not a fact,
though, that's what they have to do to win. Yes, they do win when that happens.
There you go.
But it's not a
fact.
That's
a fact, then.
That they need to do that in order for them to win.
I don't know how it don't go hand-in-hand.
But I mean, how far?
They lose in the first round.
Yeah, how far is
okay? Well, tell me when one person got it done.
When KD was there,
he was on the team too.
But when did one person get it done?
I'm not listening.
So that's what y'all asking him to get triple doubles, put everybody on your back, don't get beat in the first round,
Eddie.
By yourself. What help does he have?
Eddie.
He got Paul George now, right?
Eddie. Well, hold on.
And he changed his game for Paul George.
I agree with you. Listen, I agree with you. But look, there's some criticism. Some players have criticism towards Chris Paul, because they feel like he's somebody who controls the ball, who's going to have the ball 19 of the 24 seconds.
Well, who's criticizing that? Because he's a great point guard and is a first ballot Hall of Fame. So that's another hater.
Basketball point.
No.
Stop hating. Gotta be hating. And you know what it is? When somebody balling out, if you can't do it, they like to poke holes in it. If you can't do something, you don't like what else. I'm going to poke holes in that.
Eddie.
That's not that impressive.
Eddie.
Stop it.
Eddie.
I love it.
You're on TV now.
I know where I'm at.
Conversation inside a locker room, you know this, is often far different than on TV. The conversation you guys would have as players about, man, the media don't know what they're talking about, here's what's really going on, happens all the time. And so, again, that's all that I think is being reflected here. NBA players given their anonymity and being able to say what they really think and not worry about what social media is going to say or how's it going to come off on TV.
Well, if you really feel that way, put your name next to it.
Because we're seeing the reaction.
Stop being anonymous.
You see it in front of these two.
Stop being anonymous.
He can't win for losing.
Right.
The narrative was you overdoing it, Westbrook, and you ran
Shoot
KD
much,
out.
Right.
Then he starts to say, okay, let me this be understated why. In my game. And then all of a sudden,
Eddie House,
now that's not
and Marcellus,
enough.
These are why these players aren't coming out
which way is
and
up
saying how they feel.
Which way is up when it comes to Russell Westbrook? He tied for first with Draymond Green. That's not the same thing. Whatever you think of Draymond Green, You can say, okay, he's benefiting. Look at you trying to turn away. Bring your Bay Area butt back over here. Okay.
Draymond, you can see that.
We can see the Draymond, the defense player of the year. That's okay.
Take Draymond, put him on another team, tell him to be the catalyst. Can you move him to another team and be that successful?
That's what people say.
No, but I'm saying that's why you overrated, though. That's why you say the overrated.
He's overrated.
He's not the catalyst in Golden State. He's a bit player. He's their fourth best player. And again, so he's not rated as highly as Russell Westbrook. Again, so in order to be overrated, you have to be rated. Russell Westbrook is rated really, really high. This is not some great insult. This is just some people saying he's a little overvalued.
Let me tell you about the Draymond thing, right? What happened in the finals when he got suspended? If he would have played, they would have won. So that means
player.
Overrated right there.
Coming up.
Yes.
Whitlock and Wiley joined now, or once again, by TJ Houshmandzadeh. Time to play Hot Clock.
Hot Clock.
Where we'll each have 24 seconds to give our hot takes on some of the biggest issues in the NFL. Let's start with Mike McCarthy, who denied a report from last week that claimed the former Packer coach used to skip team meetings so he could get massages, saying the claim is utterly absurd. Marcellus, you got 24 seconds. You believe McCarthy here?
I want to. My massages, my grapes, and my wine. Forget this meeting and this game plan. I want to believe him. I didn't play for Mike McCarthy, so I don't have great intel, but I have never seen a coach miss a meeting. One, as the head coach, all you have is the big team meeting, and then it's defense, offense. You can do whatever you want to do. You can't give us 5-10 minutes and then go to your massage. It's hard to believe he skipped out on a 10-minute meeting just to go get a massage. I don't believe it.
All right, TJ. You believe Mike McCarthy here?
I don't believe him because Mike McCarthy wants to be an NFL head coach again. If he comes out and says, yeah, I was getting a massage, you think he's getting another job? Absolutely not. So deny, 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 and hopefully he'll get another job. Of course, they not just – this story, where this come from? I don't believe him at all.
Wow. You don't believe him? You ever heard a coach miss a meeting for anything close to this reason?
But getting a massage, I've never heard this story either. So where there's some truth, it gotta have some type of truth to it.
All right, let's reset the clock and start it when I start talking here. I don't believe Mike McCarthy at all. Oh, man. And I think his answer is too precise. But to say that I skipped a team meeting for a massage is utterly absurd. To say I skipped, I think his... I never, the denial should be, man, I didn't get massages on work time or in the building
never
or anything
got a massage
like that.
Working.
Blah, blah. Yeah. And so you're in the building getting massages? I'm sorry. I'm not buying it. I believe there's some truth to it. All right. Mm. The former Cowboys defensive lineman David Irving, who recently announced he was quitting football while smoking weed on Instagram, and now is accusing Jason Garrett of racism, saying the coach isn't comfortable with people of color. Marcellus, do you think Irving will ever play in the NFL again?
Didn't he retire and puffed up? Did he blaze one and say it's over? If he's not interested in playing, why should I care? Is he going to play again? Sounds like he doesn't want to, and he's certainly making the opportunities fewer by saying stuff like this. He stopped short of saying Jason Garrett was racist. He said he's uncomfortable around people of color, and that could mean a lot of things. But
he also said... I didn't like his explanation.
I didn't like it either, but is he going to play again? Who cares? I'm not into David
Irving. All right, TJ, do you think David Irving will play in the NFL again?
He is 25, so if you're a betting man, I say yes, he's going to play. It looks like everybody is on this. Let's legalize marijuana. Let's get rid of these prescription drugs that the NFL gives you and legalize marijuana. So if the new CBA, if they get closer to that, maybe he will play because he can smoke all he wants and he can't get suspended for it.
What a reason not to play.
Unreal,
you
right?
You can smoke forever when you're done. Come on, man. Just chill out.
Yeah. All right, listen. We ready with the clock? I think he will play again. Weed costs money. He's going to need money to play again.
Yeah.
The NFL is a TV show. And as long as you don't hurt ratings, someone will sign you. I think what he said about Jason Garrett is stupid and dishonest. Jason Garrett didn't like him because the dude was lazy. And he basically said that. He goes, Jason Garrett worked hard his whole career. He doesn't understand a guy like me that's got all this natural talent and could roll out of bed and play. He don't like lazy.
And roll out of bed and roll up.
Yeah. All right. So another Cowboys defensive lineman, DeMarcus Lawrence, who just agreed to a 5-year, $105 million extension with $65 million guaranteed, more than Aaron Donald or Khalil Mack got this past year. Marcellus, is Lawrence worth all this money?
Just because it's a salary cap, just because you got a lot of mouths to feed out there, not worth the money at that position for me. They still got a lot of young talent, Zeke, Dak, you got to talk about Amari Cooper. Like, people got to get paid. And if you pay a defensive lineman this, one, the translation to wins and losses, I don't think is a great correlation. But two, how are you going to feed everybody else? He's worth it. He's a great talent, but I wouldn't give him that much.
TJ, is he worth it?
You are worth every dollar that somebody is willing to give you. That's my opinion. Now,
and nothing left.
what I have given him this deal, I wouldn't have either. I couldn't justify it. You're not Aaron Donald. You're not Khalil Mack. You're a good player. But I can't give this when I know I got Dak, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, Byron Jones. You got these linebackers coming up. It's just too many guys you have to pay.
Mm. All right, look, to me, timing is everything when it comes to these contracts. The Dallas Cowboys are in a Super Bowl or bust mentality.
Yeah.
And they got to be carried by their defense because their quarterback is limited. So I think this dude actually is worth it. He's not better than Khalil Mack. He's not more valuable than Aaron Donald. But to the Cowboys and their Super Bowl effort, and they need this dynamic defense, you got to have DeMarcus Lawrence. So he's worth it. Uncle Jimmy's here. All right, let's get to the Big Dummy of the Day award.
Without no further delay or ado, the Big Dummy go to the person that went off and left the country and left me unattended with my nephew with no other assistance whatsoever.
Who that, me?
You ever go off and leave me like that
what
again?
What happened? I watched from Cancun. Looked like he was holding it down a little bit.
Ain't all got right. Wi-Fi there.
Franco Harris. All right, here's a highlight from our discussion earlier about Antonio Brown. The Raiders will regret trading for and paying Antonio Brown. He's disloyal, unreliable, and delusional.
He's going to go out there and help this team become successful. He's going to be a part of the building blocks that's going to get this team to another level. Because the dude just been doing it for his entire career. Beast.
All right, Uncle Jimmy. Beast. Franco, I see you got your Steelers gear on.
No lotion on either. Respect.
What's your take on Antonio Brown?
Hey, man, first of all, let me tell y'all what y'all both going to do. We're going to cut AB some slack today.
Mm.
Real talk. We're going to cut him some slack, you know, and that's what we're going to do.
For real? Where
he's
you going?
He's got the dude, the brother got every right to be upset right now.
Where are you going with that? Why?
Listen to me, Merkulis. You know how my nephew loved to make all these wild analogies about TV shows?
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the day when I was married to my fourth ex-wife, Nikita, you know, she was a big fan of the show Friends. You know, I'll be there for you,
you watch
when
Friends?
You get done. I'll be there for
you. Yeah. You watch Friends?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Wow, okay.
Oh, hey, Uncle Jimmy played in the snow for a minute.
And went skiing.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know, and look, see, I got Nikita straight from Russia. Okay? She came with no haggle money back guarantee. And she loved Friends. You know, I mean, look at it. Like they say, when in Rome, Uncle Jimmy act like he was a Rome. That's what the Bible say. You know.
Can we get to the point? Do you have a point here? Get
yeah,
to the point.
Yeah, focus.
The point was that on Friends, when Rachel asked Ross to take a break because they needed to chill,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And Ross got all emotional and got drunk and slept with Chloe, remember?
No, and, go ahead.
Well, it's because Rachel... Ross thought that Rachel was sleeping with her coworker, Mark. Remember?
Yeah.
Okay.
What does this have to do with the Steelers, please?
Antonio Brown thought Big Ben was sleeping with Juju. AB got jealous, and he threw a tantrum. So you got to give him a little slack. Hey, bro, Juju is that little young, hot receiver. Hey, Margolis, ain't nothing sagging on him. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, don't need no implants. Don't need no tummy tuck.
Man,
huh? AB got every right to be upset, huh? He got dumped for a little young hottie. look what the hottie did to Burpick. What could he do to Burpick?
But AB forced the trade. What you talking about?
You always dump them before they dump you. I dumped all five of mine. Hey, bro, I keep my divorce lawyer on speed dial. It's just a good look. You know, AB will be fine. You know, I mean, he'll be fine by the time the season starts. Don't even worry about it. You understand?
I do.
All right, let's get to our approval rating here. Yeah. I think we got a wide disparity. Today.
Really?
I've got AB at a 64. He's down 4 points from the last time. 23 job performance, 23 all-time greatness.
I'm so glad you back.
Goose egg. Character.
You gave him a donut?
The man, after he just went after Juju for no reason, Juju rolled for him. That's crazy.
I'd have gave him a 2.
Authenticity, a 18. Total of 64.
I like.
Oh my God! I like a 92.
Damn goat. First of all, you know on the field he's a goat. Give him that. Okay, now let's talk about this character that you don't.
Juju outperformed him. So what's his job?
Outperformed him because of the relationship, not because of the production and the talent. We're gonna find that out. I love it. I'm not gonna take shots at Juju. Love him too. But the character is high. Of Antonio Brown takes a lot to go at the critics and to go unconventional like he's doing. And he's telling the truth. He's telling his truth, at least. Authenticity can't get hired.
I ain't calling no grown man Juju. I don't give a damn what you say.
Listen, this might be our widest disparity ever. Kelly.
Yeah, you need to bring that up. Yeah. You got to bring that up.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.